Four, three, two, one.
Are you hungry? Get all you can eat at the Android Buffet. We release once a week and discuss all things Android. Now, here's Guru and Jerry.
And thank you, Susan.
Thank you, Susan. It's always good hearing from Susan.
Yes, and we're back. We're a bit late this week, but we've had some mutual technical difficulties we're still continuing to work through.
My God, if it isn't one thing, it's 14 others, right?
Well, first your internet was malfunctioning, then my internet was malfunctioning, and now I was tweaking my setup just before the show, and it started malfunctioning, so I had to patch in something temporarily. But we'll get this episode out there.
We will certainly try.
And by the time we do, it'll be time for another one.
Absolutely.
As long as we get them out there.
So next week's may be a little light on news, huh?
Well, you never know. I did add a few things that came in during the week because I wanted to keep up. But I do already have a story for next week that is not news-related, but my latest search for something to fill a need in my life.
So you got a girlfriend?
I meant a Android-related need.
Oh.
No. Unfortunately, I'm too busy producing this show to find a girlfriend.
Or at least trying to produce a show.
Yes. Me and Susan have something on the side, but that doesn't count.
Now. Let's not scare the audience.
Yes, I hope you guys know I'm kidding. Susan lives in my droid. She is always with me, but not in that way.
So what have we got going on this week?
Oh, well, many things. Since our first attempt to record this on Monday, I've added a few extra things to our lineup today. It turns out that Froyo now accounts for 28.7% of total devices accessing the market, with Eclair at 41.7% as of September 1st. So we are getting rid of those pre-2.0 versions.
Which is so nice. Programming for Android for 2.1 or later is much nicer than 1.5 or 1.6. The APIs have, the user experience continued to evolve during that. But what for me, the important part was the programming API continued to evolve. And programming to 2.1 and 2.2. There's so much more stuff available and some even necessary stuff that just, yeah, bring it on. Get rid of that pre-2.0.
Amen.
I don't think it'll ever be completely gone, though.
Well, you know, if you wait long enough, it will go to such a small percentage of the market that we won't have to worry about it anymore. And we can quietly forget those people and leave them behind.
Well, haven't we heard announcements of tablets that are coming out with 1.6?
Well, that's the disappointing thing, which is why we're hoping that Google will act against that, as it is not in the best interest of the operating system, at least in my opinion.
Unfortunately, I think Google has licensed Android in such a way that they really can't stop 1.6 devices from coming out.
Well, speaking of licensing, there's actually reports that my provider, Verizon, is about to do something less than pleasant. Last week it was that they were going to and had made Bing the default search engine on an Android device and made it hard
just
to replace.
Just one, though, not all of them.
Well, yes.
Well, and which was it? Is it the Fascinate?
It is the Fascinate, which is the Samsung phone, which different versions of it were deployed to different carriers, so it's the Galaxy line. And apparently now that isn't enough for them, that they've somehow made it impossible for you to, without going through a bunch of hoops, install a Google search on your Google phone. Now they want their own app market.
Well, come on, let's be serious. This makes complete sense. And
for them to do it or for the customer?
For them to do it. I mean,
okay. I'll agree with that. It makes sense because they want to
get a slice of the pie.
Yes, and they would get it. They'd get their 30%, the same as Google.
I wonder if it's an entirely different market or if it's just a segment. I mean, they already, if you go to the market app, Sprint already has a tab. And you told me that on yours, Verizon already has a tab.
Yes. So, but in this case, they'll have their own app. So it'll essentially be, they'll have a market app and you'll be downloading via that. So it'll be an entirely separate market, not controlled by Google, but, you know, there are things that sound potentially useful about it. It will be curated, but I was with Verizon before they started doing Android when they had the Brew system. Are you familiar with Brew?
No.
It's this Qualcomm system that they used to write these simple apps on. So yeah, okay. In those days, you couldn't actually buy an app. You actually had to rent it, which is what really annoys me. There was a case this week legally about that in terms of licensing.
Oh yeah, that's a fail. That was a failure for end users everywhere.
Yes, essentially you can actually legally allow people to rent your applications and essentially have a license to use them that you could effectively revoke, which annoys me.
Yes, but with Verizon, you're not buying the software, you're buying a license to the software.
Well, with the old Verizon Brew system, which they still use on feature phones, what they would be able to do was you'd buy the app, but then you'd take your phone to the store, like I did, and ask them to fix it. They'd flash a new firmware update on it. You'd lose your apps, and they'd expect you to buy them again. Then you'd get a new phone. None of those apps could be re-downloaded. Now, they fixed that a bit because people really started to complain about buying apps, and then they started things where services cost a monthly fee. I remember I mentioned Visual Voicemail to you, which is the ability to enjoy your voicemail. That's available for a fee on the older phones, and even on Android, if you want their app for it, you have to pay a monthly fee.
Which just amazes me.
Well, you think it would be a feature they'd want to curate, even if they charge.
But all that aside, having an Android market that is curated, available to the masses, in my personal opinion, is a good thing.
Should it be run by Verizon?
Well, I don't know about Verizon. But if you have a market that anybody can put anything in that's open, that everybody can get to, not like, and then you have a curated version if you want to weed out the spam, so to speak, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Well, no, I'm just concerned that they'll try to lock it down in a negative manner, but, you know, they haven't actually
done anything. So that you can only buy from the Verizon Android app?
Well, I don't want to have to start sideloading things. It's going to be a pain in the neck. AT&T already has that thing where you have to sideload certain apps that aren't in the market. But I don't want to, if it's not in the Verizon market, I'm going to have to start sideloading it. That seems like a pain.
If it's a choice, I can concur with that.
If it's a choice, it's the same thing with the Bing versus Google. If they want to pre-install and default to Bing, as long as if I don't like Bing, I can change it. I have no problem with them doing that. It's the same problem I have with the bloatware that is being installed on phones. If I can get rid of it, fine, let them install bloatware as long as I can get rid of it. Once they lock me into something, that's when I get annoyed.
And that's when you move to Sprint.
You don't think Sprint will follow?
I think Sprint has shown that they go a different way.
Just remember that there are, as we've discussed off program, compelling reasons for me to stay with Verizon. The yes. Most obvious of one is, of course, the fact that I just got the phone in January, and thus I am...
That's not going to stop me from harassing you.
Okay, you can harass me. We can move on to the fact that paid apps are being tested in India. So that if you had another country where your new upcoming app, whatever it may be, may work. It won't be the Evo Real Mirror, because I don't think they have Evos in India, at least not intentionally. But whatever they have there, if your next app works with it, you could be making money in India.
Yay!
You could be selling to the same people who provide you with technical support. And to
round
out,
it's good to see that they're expanding.
Yes, and to round out the statistical news this week, Nielsen reports that Android users respond to ads more than users of other platforms, at 33% compared to iPhone's 26%. Possibly due to the fact that there are more free ad-supported applications on Android.
That's ridiculous.
So you don't trust Nielsen?
Are you kidding? Of course not. They've been making up, I won't say they've been making up statistics since they were born. But, well, I can't really talk because I work for a competitor for Nielsen, so I'll just be quiet.
Okay. Well, however, when your company quietly starts compiling Android statistics, bring us some. You know I love statistics. Did you know that 100% of gurus love statistics?
I don't know why. I think that more Android users respond to ads simply because Android users know that ads support the developers, and they want to do that.
Well, I would also hope that there were better ways of targeting people. That's part of the whole Google philosophy, whatever you could say about it. And you get AdMob in there, Google Mobile, and even their competitors are saying, how can we show people ads? And I think we talked about this before. How can we show people ads they actually want to see?
Yes, but I'm sure I am certain that the ad companies that are available for the iPhone are doing the exact same thing.
Yes, just going back to what I mentioned earlier, the increased number of free ad-supported apps on Android means that you have more eyes, so you have a statistical increase. I don't think it necessarily says anything other than there are more ad-supported apps, and you have a different type of user.
And I will agree with that. You certainly have a different type of user, and maybe a user that is a little bit more considerate of the developer.
Well, I am. I can honestly say that I have been very bad in that, because I have yet to see an ad that I want to click on. So maybe they aren't targeting me effectively. On that note, moving on past statistics, I have some news. Google Apps accounts are transitioning to support the same services that have been limited to traditional Google Gmail accounts. This is actually very exciting for me because I run the email for my life off of a Google Apps account, and many of those features were unavailable to me until last week.
For example?
Well, as part of
that... Are we talking like Google Voice or...
That's one. There's actually several others.
What else?
I believe now there are actually several. Google Voice is actually the one that really affects me because you know that I use Google Voice. So there's one thing that happened to me. The transition that I did, I applied for on Wednesday of last week. So a week ago. And then it was either Saturday night or Sunday that after they announced that the account had transitioned over to the new system, I filled out a form to transfer my Google Voice number from my Gmail account over to my personal Google Apps account.
Oh, wow, you can do that?
Once it's on the system. So you couldn't do it from an old Apps account, but now that you have an account that supports voice, you can do that. In fact, since all of the accounts now support a voice server, Android Buffet is happy to announce its new Google Voice number for you, our listeners, to leave voicemail messages for.
We've got a voicemail number. We've got a voicemail number. Yay!
There is one downside, though.
What's that?
It's in Jersey.
I mean, if you're... Okay, now, to international users, we're sorry. But a 1-800 number probably wouldn't help anyway. And if you're within the United States... I think the percentage of people that pay for long-distance calls inside the United States is probably fairly low nowadays.
So, yes, and you can use Google Voice to call it. So you can call the Google voicemail number on Google Voice.
Hey, I have a question.
Yes.
What is that number?
Well, Susan will be saying it later, but for all the users who are eagerly going towards their phone and looking forward to dialing a message into us, the number is 201-2-WENICA. That's 201-293-6322.
And Winica, what is this Winica of which you speak?
Winica is the parent company of Gadget Wisdom, which also happens to provide hosting as well as other things for Android Buffet.
Oh. So are they going to have to specify that their voicemail is for Android Buffet?
They certainly can, but at the moment nobody else is going to be calling that number because Android Buffet is, of course, the first Winica project to use it.
Ah.
So I will be the one listening to the voicemails. So if you're talking about Androids, I'll assume you want to talk to this program. And this is the only podcast we produce right now. So unless you're calling to hear about the wonderful new project that Winica launched this week in beta, airporthistory.com, no one? Okay.
Okay, now you just got me curious. What is airporthistory.com?
Well, it's a new project. I've been doing some of the development, and it's been stalled for a little while, so we decided after a meeting to put it up and see if we can get some contributions. It is a
site, that's great. What is it?
I'm getting to that. It is a site where you can go and submit articles and other information and view other people's articles and information about the history of various airports. We just started it. We only have a few airports up, but more will be coming.
Any Denver stories?
No, but I will be sure to tell the infrequent flyer about that.
Apparently, there's some real interesting history about.
The old airport Stapleton, and then the new airport Denver International.
The new airport Denver International, specifically the use of the grounds before it was an airport, and maybe still to this day.
Well, Jerry, you could sign up for an account in the Airport History Forum and write something about this.
Oh, well, I know absolutely nothing about it. I just, when I flew through there, or flew to Denver a few years ago, I heard some interesting stuff about it. Of course, it was all rumor. I don't have any substantiating evidence, but I thought it might be interesting.
Well, we think that this has potential to grow, although it is still in beta, because there are many more features, since I am the feature developer, that I have been asked to put in. I have a whole list somewhere. And
seems quite niche.
Well, we are a niche organization. As you may or may not know, the Weneca Media Group also supports Flight Wisdom, another aviation site that spun this site off.
Ah.
There's also, of course, the site that I am doing the most on, Gadget Wisdom. We also, of course, have Android Buffet. We have The Inelegant Investor, StockSpinoffs.com, Transit Wisdom, etc. If you are interested in writing for any of these sites, we are looking for additional contributors.
Goodness.
Yes. We're very ambitious people. And we have new projects that come on, and I get spread a bit thin, so it's always nice to get some help. And moving on, speaking of feature enhancement for Android Buffet, I did look into enhanced podcasts, things like chapter markers, embedded images, and URLs. And unfortunately at this time, and you know, certainly I want to look into it again because it seems like a cool thing to do, the most rugged support for it is actually limited to iTunes. And since we're an Android podcast, and currently, as I understand it, support for enhanced podcasts in Android is limited, even in our mutually beloved Dogcatcher, which has it as a feature request that they will at some point do, it seems that there would not be a significant benefit for the listeners at this time.
Yeah. I mean, we, in the previous versions of this show that we recorded, we hashed over this quite a bit. But yeah, just to sum it up,
even if we did
enhance podcasts, there's nothing that on Android that would let you take advantage of those systems. So the features would just be for iPhone users, any of you out there? Give us a call.
Yes. And, you know, it is possible that I'm wrong about that. I did want to look into it to make sure that I could find all the information.
Oh, absolutely. If any of the listeners know of any podcatchers that support the enhanced system or the enhanced chapter markings and such, give us a call. Give us an email. Let us know.
Bear in mind that MP3 is an OGG format. Both of the two formats that we're currently supporting do have a standard to embed, although it is less popular than the one that you mentioned last week, the AAC standard, which, again, is popular because iTunes made it so.
Okay.
You're welcome to write a podcatcher that supports enhanced podcasts. I will consider it, and considering that you know how much I must have paid for Dogcatcher, as you paid it as well, I am willing to pay for a good podcatcher.
Yes, and I have a podcatcher about 20% written, but as I got into it, something I learned is that podcatchers are a surprisingly complex application.
Well, I have an idea about
but
that.
I will finish.
Remind me to tell you sometime about my idea for a new twist on the podcatcher.
Alrighty.
I would tell it to you on the air, but you know, then it might be stolen by an enterprising listener.
Oh, goodness, can't have that.
And speaking of that, AppBrain went social. So our enterprising listeners, I haven't quite figured out how you can, if you are not a Facebook person, use the new Browse the Apps of Friends feature. because it allowed me to browse popular people, and it allowed me to click a button for Facebook Connect, but since I don't have a Facebook account, I couldn't try that. So I'm waiting for follow the apps of people on Twitter or follow by email address, which I haven't quite seen.
Yeah.
Did you get a chance to try out this feature?
I don't know what happened, but at one point, now I have not connected it to Facebook. I connected it to Twitter.
So you got it to connect? Mine only has a Facebook Connect icon. Yours has
what
a
was
Twitter.
I thinking about that connected to Twitter?
The phone itself does, but...
It found one of the guys that I email with, and I saw the apps on his phone. I saw that he had a milestone. And this is the guy that does the icons for my applications. And, I mean, he's over in Germany. And since then, I have not been able to find it again.
Well,
I don't know what happened to it.
Certainly, I don't understand what's going on with that either, but... I put up a screenshot, which you'll find in the show notes, which has the apps of one of the people who was considered popular, Phil Nicholson over at Android Central. He has some sort of podcast also that I hear a few people listen to. Just one or two.
No,
Sorry, I figured
that. Oh, okay.
But you can also follow some other notable personalities. I think I saw.
Yes, okay, here you go. When you're looking at my apps, if you look in the right-hand column, you see my subscriptions.
Okay, I'm pulling it up now. AppBrain, AppMarket. Sorry, the phone was not next to me. So you said go to
Explore. Well, I'm actually on the internet.
You're on the site. Okay,
I'm on the desktop.
Okay, I'm going to switch to the desktop app. So you're going to go to My Apps, which is the list of your app, and then there's an option for public and private. Is that what you...
Right. Now look above that, and you should see
My Subscription.
A box that says My Subscriptions.
Okay, so that's where they put it.
And then you can hit Find More Friends, and you get the option to connect via Facebook, Twitter, or Google.
See, I didn't even notice this because I didn't see the My Recommendations on the... desktop version on the web. I was looking on the phone for it because I didn't realize that they'd added it online. It was a bit subtle.
Now,
there.
See, I don't have you as a Twitter friend on here.
I'm not your friend.
I follow you on Twitter.
Yeah. I think the problem is that I use a Gmail account for Google Checkout because until the transition this week with I couldn't actually pay through.
I think if you actually connect. Then it will show up. It will link your email address to your Twitter.
Yeah, I just have to figure out
show up on my list.
Yeah, now as you know, while I am not embarrassed about my name, I don't usually give it out publicly, and I want to keep my private email address separate from my Twitter account. So I'll have to play with that a bit and see if it protects me from unwanted intrusions.
Maybe.
Okay. Well, I'll do that. When we're not on the show, but thanks for showing me where that was. I didn't actually notice it.
I didn't notice it either until just then.
And that's what we're here for. We're learning with you.
I'm going to uninstall Angry Birds while I'm here.
Okay. Well, while you're there, the beta didn't appeal to you. It wasn't as addicting as all those iTunes people said.
It crashes on Evos.
Well, it's still in the light beta. Maybe they'll fix that for the full version.
Maybe.
And moving along... Google Voice, which I use, the update that I mentioned to you a while back with the widgets came in. It also now supports missed call notifications to the inbox. So Google Voice does have an inbox, if you've ever tried it, and it will now allow you to put the missed call log in there. So if your phone is off, it will log missed calls there as well. And that's sort of exciting. I have another screenshot. I've had some time to play with some screenshots. I think I sent a few over to you, and the rest will be, of course, in the show notes. And
oh yes, those were, dude, that's crazy.
Yes, we'll get to that one in a moment.
Oh, I'm sorry, but we're not there yet.
Yes, I like to put up crazy screenshots because I like to see how I can push the limits of what I can fiddle with. But one more update from the Googleverse, the update to Google Maps, which includes navigation for walking and will offer vibrate to turn instead of voice commands as an option. So you could be walking down the street, it will buzz and indicate to you it's time to follow another direction. And you can now get Street View in Google Maps on Android via the separate Street View add-on. So I did try this, and it seemed to work fine. I tried the walking navigation for about a block. I had nowhere particularly to go. And I did try the Street View add-on, and it did find where I was, which was a pretty obscure place. I was away last week, and I'll be away on and off for the next couple of weeks for 1 or 2 days a week.
Mm-hmm.
And I was in a fairly remote part of New York where apparently the Google Street View car doesn't come around very often.
Huh.
Well, they can't be everywhere. I should write them a letter, though, because I have to correct some things that, by my calculation, they've placed the United States Post Office in a pool.
That doesn't sound right.
Well, they have a report a problem page. I really should write them a letter and tell them, along with that street in my neighborhood that's now one way, that they keep trying to get me to go down the wrong way. Remember, crowdsourcing is important. Google is not perfect, as we learned from that woman who sued Google because the walking directions told her to walk on a street that had no sidewalk. You should take anything Google says with a legitimate grain of salt.
Or any navigation system, let's be honest. I mean, if you're driving with a navigation system, pay attention to the road.
Well, you hear...
If there's a big lake in front of you, stop.
Well, you hear every so often of somebody who got navigated onto some railroad tracks or something because of a navigation system. They aren't perfect. They are a navigational aid.
Yes.
And that's all I have to say about that. But my exploration of this week, I actually did two separate and fun explorations this week.
Ooh, so did I.
I explored radio apps because radio is not dead if you can stream it.
True.
Yes. So currently my favorite of all the ones I looked at was the free TuneIn Radio Time app, of which you can get a ad-less version for $1.99. And this is essentially the official Radio Time app. Have you ever used Radio Time, Jerry?
No.
It's actually a great service. So what it does is it aggregates streaming radio stations. Now, I always had the problem that when I wanted to listen to my local station when I was away, and I have a station that does local news, I had to do something of a hack because I did not like listening in their flash player.
Hmm. Okay.
So I actually tracked down the URL of their direct stream so I could load it into a streaming program. Now, Radio Time does that for you. It has a list of all streams. It gets updated. So I can go in and pick out a Jacksonville station, for example, and be able to listen to it, even though I am nowhere near Jacksonville.
Okay.
Now, beyond that, Wonder Radio is apparently very popular. I didn't get a chance to test this personally, but I did speak to a friend of mine who has an iPhone. I know you've heard of those.
Yes.
And he actually told me that the one thing that prevented him from moving to Android was the lack of a Wonder Radio app. So now that one's out, he just has to wait out his contract. He may be listening.
It is amazing
now,
how often the lack of a single feature or application will prevent somebody from going to a new platform.
Yes. And one of these days I will be testing out Wonder Radio. I'm just not sure if I use radio functionality enough to justify the $6.99 price tag. $1.99 to get rid of the ads, to support the app, I would do. But $6.99, I don't think I stream enough.
Hmm.
And the Radio Time / TuneIn Radio app does support some podcasts as part of its repertoire as well. So it's a very it's a very nice little robust app. I suggest you check it out. If you don't like that and you want to pay money, there's, of course, the Sirius app, if you happen to subscribe to Sirius Satellite Radio. And I will be testing that when I get a chance because I have cleverly made off with a relative's Sirius login. So I will just try it. In a totally legal way, of course. And the final one is, of course, iHeartRadio, which has over 750 clear channel stations. And while it doesn't look particularly bad in terms of its functionality, I could not get into it and got rid of it rather quickly.
Oh, that's too bad. Clear Channel's got some really good stations.
Well, no, it's not. It wasn't so much the stations. The combination of presentation and what was available didn't appeal to me. So some of those stations you can get in other apps. So it wasn't necessarily the app itself, but But there were people who liked the app, and it's certainly free, which I appreciate. So try it out if you have a Clear Channel station you want to listen to. For me, as I said, mostly, if I want to listen to music, I have my own music. So I was looking for my local news and for other news-related sources that I can't necessarily get. So it's a matter of preference.
Hmm.
And
okay, can I talk about what I explored?
Yes, that was what I was going to ask you about next. What did you explore?
I explored hurricane apps.
Yes. How did the hurricane app come? See, I'm using the good old-fashioned paper to take notes today.
Ah.
Yes, I love paper.
Okay, well, basically I found three apps on a website. There is Hurricane Hound Free, and all of these applications are free. None of them were cost. I could not find a hurricane app that cost anything. But you've got Hurricane Hound Free, and while it gives a nice presentation, in essence, it's a Google map with pinpoints on it. There was Hurricane Watch, which looks like it just pulls an image from the NHC website, the National Hurricane Center website, and Then there's Hurricane Web, or Hurricane Hub, which really has quite a lot to it. It's several pages of multiple buttons to get you to eyewitness accounts and computer models and... There's a lot to this. I think they could stand to check it out on a, I think they designed it with a very small display in mind. So the icons don't show up very prettily, but it is an extremely functional app. And I especially like the fact that it can show you what the computer models are. For a hurricane, depending on which computer model is used, the hurricane will take different paths, and being able to see or compare all those different computer models, I thought was really nice.
So do you give it a thumbs up as your choice out of these apps? Or an Android app or whatever app we're using today?
It's the only one that's left installed on my phone.
So you are prepared to map any hurricane that might come anywhere near you and defeat historical record.
I liked Hurricane Hub. I really did. Of course, if you don't want to install any app, you can always just make a shortcut to the website, www.nhc.noaa.gov. And it's a very functional site for from a mobile device. It's a very functional site and gets you all of the information that the applications have. And those are your four choices right now for hurricanes. Maybe if a hurricane actually decides to come anywhere near the United States this year, more hurricane apps will pop up. For now, it looks like that's all there is. And if you wrote Hurricane Hub, you know, can you tweak the graphics a little bit? Other than that, thumbs up.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about it. Maybe next time we'll look at earthquake apps or typhoon apps. We could have a whole theme going.
Well, the one thing that they all had in common was they would do Atlantic or Pacific hurricanes.
If it's in the Pacific, isn't it a typhoon?
Yes.
Okay.
So, technically, I covered typhoon apps.
Okay.
Thank you.
Next time, earthquakes. We'll save that for the next time we hear about an earthquake. We want our earthquake-ridden users to be protected as well.
I don't know what is important in our earthquake. I mean, really, by the time an earthquake hits, isn't it a little late to check your application? You know, a hurricane gives notice. It says weeks out, I'm coming your way. Which, interestingly, do you know who Ron White is?
Why does that name sound familiar?
He's a comedian.
Then I probably laughed at him at some point, or not laughed at him at the case. Maybe I've definitely heard the name.
one of the one of his favorite skits deals with a hurricane. He's making fun of a guy that tied himself to a tree on the beach during a hurricane, saying that he can put up with the wind. And Ron White's like, it's not that the wind is blowing. It's what the wind is blowing.
Like debris.
Yeah, like tankers. Like trucks and cars and machetes.
Hopefully it's not blowing machetes. Who leaves their machete around?
A machete's got to be somewhere.
Okay.
And if it's in a trailer, then and the trailer house gets picked up and thrown around, then the machete's going to come out.
I can honestly say that I have never needed a machete to hack through the dense jungle of New York. I know we call it a jungle, but we're not speaking literally.
Speaking of machete, I saw machete over the weekend.
Did you?
Yes.
And what is machete?
Machete is a new movie that's out.
Does it involve a man with a machete?
Yes, it does. And it also involves Jessica Alba and Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, well, I saw a movie as well, but I brought it in. I got a free movie rental from my local kiosk. So because we were having technical difficulties, I went and watched a movie. There was a lot of blood and gore in it.
That sounds like machete.
And small
there
children.
Was a lot of blood and gore.
This was blood, gore, and small children.
Oh.
Yes.
No, this was blood, gore, and naked women.
Okay. Well, I don't want it to be thought that I enjoy seeing small children and blood together. So I'm going to emphatically say that.
Story.
Yes, I'm going to emphatically say I don't and move on. The other thing that I looked at that held over from last week, because we had so many interesting things last week, was newsreaders. Do you use a newsreader or a RSS aggregator on your phone?
I do not.
Okay. Well, there are certainly some good ones. Now, just this week, on an unrelated note, Bloglines, which was a famous and well-known web-based aggregator, decided it's going to shut its doors, asking the question, is RSS dead? So I'm going to ask you before I tell you how to get your RSS. Do you think RSS is dead, Jerry?
No. No, it may be dead as, well, not as a way of getting news, but RSS is how podcasts are sent out. I imagine that one day it's how TV shows will be sent out. RSS is a fully functional. No, RSS is not dead.
And I think the RSS reader isn't dead because while I do get a lot of information from Twitter, it pops up on my screen in my Twitter app, it stays in my RSS reader. Whereas if I miss it on Twitter, it's very hard to find it again. So there are things that I keep in there and I continue to want to read blogs in the more traditional way.
You know what I started using?
What?
Instapaper.
Well, that actually goes into what I was going to talk about next week.
Oh, then I'll be quiet.
Well, no, you can actually help me. I have decided that because as the week goes on, when I see things on Twitter, I put them into a tab, and before I know it and get a chance to read them all, I end up with 50 tabs.
Yep.
And that's more tabs than I need. So for next
week. Or if you're running a Windows machine like this week, Windows Update comes along and reboots your machine.
Yes, we don't do that on Linux. If you want your machine to reboot, you better well say so.
Ah.
Yes. Microsoft, as I recall, assumes that it knows better than you when your machine should reboot. But that's,
anyway,
that
so
said,
newsreaders.
Yes, I had decided that in addition to newsreaders, which I'm going to get to, I wanted to find the perfect combination of both desktop and mobile app for bookmark tracking. So when I see one of these stories on Twitter, I can put it into, you mentioned Instapaper, there's also Read It Later. And I wanted to look at the various Android apps that link into those services and try to find what I felt was the best one.
Right.
So that was the project I was going to work on for next week. So you can help me right now. Have you found a good app that I could look at for Instapaper on Android?
No. Instapaper on Android seems to be not well supported, although there are a couple applications out there that will help you with it.
Yes, I'm also going to look at Read It Later because I'm just trying to get more organized. I am not tied down to a web-based solution yet. So I want a combination of a web-based and an Android-based solution that will work for both. And I know Dolphin Browser, for example, actually does have a plugin for Read It Later. So I'm going to look at both, and I'll see how much I can get through before our next episode. And if not, I'll have that ready the week after.
I will. I want to try some apps for Instapaper on the iPhone or on the. Can we edit that out for my Evo? My large, glorious Evo.
Can I edit it out and then put it in as a blooper at the end?
Oh my God!
I've had a couple of interesting things at the end from you that I've cut out. I'm not sure if you've noticed. You probably haven't listened to the show being as you heard it live.
Yeah, that's true.
So I could put anything in there for when I think of it. I could have Susan say something particularly amusing. And
anyway.
Back to newsreaders. Well, ironically, I pushed this off from episode 8. And in the meantime, Andronica came up with this great table of Google Reader integrated RSS readers. Now, I switched to Google Reader because Blog Lines was never being updated, and now they're shutting it down. So I was using them for a long time. And I looked at a few really good ones. I've been using NewsRob for a while, and I happen to like it. And I looked at GReader as an alternative that many people liked. Both are available in a free and an advertiser-less version. That adds one or two.
I like that
GReader.
No, I'm looking at one of the other ads or options, one of the other readers.
Oh, from the Andronica?
Yeah. Okay. Is Greed?
Yes.
Or GRead?
Yes.
To me, it looks like Greed.
Yes.
One of the ways of sharing the things you read is via Instapaper.
Yes. And I'm going to be looking at more of that as well.
I will check that out.
Where's sharing? Sharing is caring.
Note to self. Check out Greed.
Are you using the voice actions though?
No.
Okay.
Not really.
Anyway, so both applications actually have some really nice advantages. Beyond the ability to go and look at multiple stories, offline support is available in both of the ones that I looked at. We'll get to Pulse in a moment. All of them integrate with Google Reader, which is important because you want that computer connection. Instapaper is not available on either of the ones that I picked, but I just started to decide that I'm going to look into an Instapaper type app, so I may reconsider that. And I actually use this, I think I mentioned it to you a while back, when I was on an airplane, I was able to read news stories from NewsRob in airplane mode because it syncs them to the phone every few hours.
It looks like most of them do.
Well, I think that's a very good feature for Android. So I can have my phone in a no service area and still have something to read.
Oh, wow.
And the final one that I put on here is the Pulse Newsreader, which is visually stunning. But it only lets you look at 10 things. So if you have 10 things that you really want to look at and you want to prioritize those things, it is a very new and interesting way to look at your blog entries. And there'll be more on that. I keep looking at ways to digest news because there's so much that you have to know for a show like this. You have to make sure you keep up so that you can tell other people. That's why this morning I went out as soon as it was announced and bought myself a copy of The Complete Guide to Android, even though I could have read it online for free. Yes. It was put out by Kevin Purdy of Lifehacker. It was released this morning in ebook format and for ordering as a paper book. I ordered it in EPUB format and imported it into Aldico.
Ah.
Even though, again, I could read it in my browser, I thought, he wrote a book about Android. I'll give him the $9. Then, of course, a few hours later, I got my 20% off coupon code. Yeah. So if you go and you follow Complete Android on Twitter, you can DM them, and they will give you a coupon code for 20% off. It changes every day, and that's through Friday. So I'll try to get this podcast out so you can hear it on Thursday and get your 20% off. At lunch today, I read through the first chapter of the book, and I'll probably read more. I'm sure there are tips in there that I didn't know. Being as he wrote a book on it, I'm sure he spent a lot of time looking for things that I might have missed. And that does bring us to video. Yes, we have
I
think we're going to have to really put together a feature on this, but just as a side note, Rock Player is now no longer in a processor-specific version. They now have a universal version. So if you have the processor-specific version, uninstall it and replace it with the new universal version. And last week, a listener asked about video streaming. Would you like to read the letter from our listener? Maybe next week he can give us a voicemail.
Sure. I am running Windows Server 2003, hosting around 2 terabytes of video files. The formats are MP4 and M4V, each about 800 megabytes. I have set up a network share so that I can watch them from my desktop, Windows 7, over Wi-Fi using VLC. I would like to do something similar with my Droid. I am able to navigate to the share using ES File Explorer, which might have been recommended by you guys. But when I tried to play the file, it wants to download it first. I was thinking about setting up a streaming client on the server, but if I do that, I won't have control over which video plays from the phone.
I did a little research.
Or am I wrong?
Now, specifically with VLC, it actually is very promising because VLC can do on-the-fly transcoding. But what you still actually need is a streaming server. Now, coincidentally, I know somebody who's been experimenting with that exact issue. Dan Fry over at the Myth TV podcast, who's working on a Myth TV streamer for his home theater PC. So he's been experimenting with this exact issue and is working on that problem of controlling VLC. Now, there are a few things that may work with that. The simplest one, of course, is that VLC does support command line. And if you can remotely log into your machine, let's say setting up a VNC client, you could control it. Now, that is a bit clunky, though. What you would need, though, is one of several things. One, you would need a streaming server, as opposed to a streaming client on the server, for VLC to pass the file over to. And there are some things I'm going to be looking into on how to set that up. Since VLC is available for both Linux and Windows, I should be able to come up with some commands that would work on most systems. And I have some things that Dan Fry sent me that I'm going to be experimenting with that he's been working on. And he's actually trying a control system, and we were discussing it, so maybe he'll come up with a more efficient way to aggregate your content and then send the command over to VLC, some form of script, where you can just send a command some other way. Unfortunately, it's just not there right now. If you want to stream using VLC, it certainly will work. You can set it up, but the problem is, of course, as you mentioned, control. So until somebody comes up with a good script, then that's going to be hard. But if you do want to look into streaming from VLC to a streaming server and then onto a Droid device, the one that he's been experimenting with, that I'm also going to fiddle with when I get a chance, I've played with a few, is the Darwin streaming server, which is ironically an open source version of the QuickTime server that Apple uses. And it is available both in a Windows and a Linux flavor, so it should work on Windows 7. Since I haven't tried it myself fully, I cannot guarantee that will work, but all reports indicate it will, and I have plans to try to put together something to show how it would work and with the setup commands when I have time.
I think ideally what I'd like to see is DLNA client. Now, I know there are couple,
all the ones that I really found, and I looked at that, they're built into phones, but they're not available in the market. And there are a few test items, but nothing that's fully able to support the standard. So it's just not there yet. I would love to see that as well. That would be essentially setting up everything. You get yourself a device that has a UPnP or DLNA support, and the phone can act as a client. Right now, the best thing the phone can do is act as a
There is a micro player or micro media player, and I assume it's Micromedia Player because it starts with a U. But if you want to search for it, look for U Media Player. And it is a universal plug-and-play and a DLNA client. It says it supports all the normal formats that Android supports. It'll just stream them over DLNA.
I couldn't quite get it to work.
That may be a solution. And you actually, interestingly, in this same thing, if you're curious what type of formats Android supports natively, on the developer.android.com site, those are the formats that Android natively supports. Interestingly, under video, you will not find H.2 or MPEG 2.
Which is what DVD would use, for example. See, the thing is that the solution that we were just discussing involves streaming and transcoding, which means the file would be much slower. Now, if he's doing this inside his house, he'll have enough bandwidth to be able to stream an 800 megabyte file. But if he's trying to do it over a mobile connection, the upstream from his house to the internet probably will not be able to support anything that high without downscaling it.
True, but...
So we don't know exactly what is...
Well, he says he's trying to watch it over Wi-Fi. He says he watches it on Windows 7.
We don't know if he wants to test Wi-Fi. It in the house and take it out of the house. He can certainly check in with us on that. If he just wants to sit in his house and watch it from his couch, for example, certainly he could do that if he can get the formatting correct.
There is another option. He could grab a copy of Sage TV, set it up, and add all of his video and stuff to the... to the media library, and then he could watch using a thing they do called Play Shifter. He could watch the videos in his browser, and Sage TV would take care of all the transcoding and streaming.
That certainly is an option. Since you are more of an expert on Sage TV, would you be able to put anything together that we could put up to give him some advice? Okay, you have a Sage TV.
So. I think it would be interesting to try it.
Well, if you try it, take some shots.
I do.
Take some notes. We'll post them up as an article on the site, and he'll be able to try that.
Ooh.
What is the retail price for Sage TV right now? It's a commercial.
For the server, I think you're looking at $70-$80.
It certainly isn't.
Yeah, it's more expensive than a mobile app, that's for certain, but it's an amazing piece of software.
Yes, as somebody who uses a software-based DVR, admittedly not that one, I will have to agree that they are good things to have if you want to really organize your media watching. And you have another...
Dude, if you just want to take control of your life and you like TV, a DVR will... And I hate to sound like I'm on a soapbox, but really, a DVR will change your life. If you are scheduling your life around what time a TV show comes on live, dude, stop that. Set it up to record. Watch it when you get the time. Whether you use Smith TV, Sage TV, Media Center, or really, and personally, I think this is a gateway drug, the DVR that your cable provider provides or cable or satellite provider provides, start using it. It will change your life.
And Jerry, I gather you have some sort of little podcast where you talk about that every so often?
Every now and then.
What's that called again? It's with that guy who does that thing.
HT something, 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 something. HTP Centric with Adam Thursby. Yeah, we only do it once a month. So,
well, I hear you may be trying to do it more if you can sometime in the future.
Adam set up some way for listeners to support us via donations, and if the donations are high enough and the demand is high enough, then we may move it to, you know, twice a month, or if they're really good, then maybe even weekly. But we'll see. My experience with donations has been that they're a really good idea, but very, very few people ever actually donate.
Yes, and you can send me money here at Android Buffet, and I promise I will put it into the site as best I can. And certainly if you have an idea and you want to give me money to implement it, no problem with that. I'm not going to set up a donate button at this time, but if one comes in the future, certainly an option. Until then, send us an email at podcast@androidbuffet.com if you want to give us money.
Money's good.
We like money. And I did have one final thing that I looked at, and then we have Developers Corner.
Well, I also have something else that I looked at.
Okay. Would you like to go first?
Well, mine's actually kind of short.
After you.
You know, if you want to know how much battery you have left, up there in the top right-hand corner, there's a little picture of your battery and with a graph on it. And I had been using a battery widget that showed like a speedometer-type graph of where it is. But I found another one that I really like, and it's called Battery Left. And apparently this is not a new application. It has been around for a while. But what it does that I think is different is it will show you in hours and minutes how much longer your battery is going to last. The first time you run it, you know, you need to run it through a complete cycle. And it even has a graph so to show you how accurate it actually is. And so far it's been, as far as I can tell, pretty accurate. It dies when it says it's going to die. For example, right now it says that my phone is going to die at about 8 o'clock in the morning.
I wonder if that would work with my phone. The Droid has this odd glitch or design feature, as the case may be, where it only displays the battery life in 10% increments. So it goes from 100% to 90% because it doesn't have any numbers in between. So I'm wondering if it can cope with that, because a lot of programs note if you have a Motorola Droid, you're going to see it in 10% increments.
Well, there is a – when you tap the widget, there is – you know, it opens up an application. And one of the things you can do is look at the battery info, where it'll tell you the battery level, the scale, the health, and even the voltage down to the millivolt, battery temperature. So if it has access to the battery voltage, then it can probably work just fine.
Well, I'm going to give it a shot because I've been through several battery widgets and I haven't found one I really like. I tried the one that you used to use, that you recommended, Gauge Battery Widget. I was trying Batleft, which is a word-based one. Instead of showing you a gauge, it actually shows it to you in a word, which is visually nice, but wasn't really helpful. So I'm going to try this new one that you just recommended.
Battery Left. And it's there's a free version. There is also a paid version if you have multiple batteries, so you can tell it which battery it's looking at.
I actually do have multiple batteries. I haven't really used them because I haven't gone anywhere that I needed to, but I did get them cheap while the getting was good.
Yep. Well, this way you might even be able to tell which batteries of yours are better than others. As an example, according to Battery Left, if I fully charge my battery, I get about 22 hours. Specifically, 21 hours and 47 minutes of usage out of my phone.
I'm going to try that out, and I'll get back to you. We'll see how that works for me, and if anybody else would like to try it out and report in, remember, we always like feedback. Not only can you give us email feedback, we have Twitter, we have voicemail now, we have a comment form on the site, so any way you'd like to tell us what you think, we want to hear it.
Speaking of Twitter, did I see something about Josh Pollard giving us a hard time about not having an episode out this week yet?
Well, I'm not sure if it's a hard time. He did ask about it. I choose to consider it Josh Pollard being eager to hear us talk about him.
Ah. And that was this week's mandatory Josh Pollard mention.
Yes. In fact, now he can leave us a voicemail. Want to lay odds that he will be the first person to leave us a voicemail?
I don't know. We'll see.
Okay. We'll see. But I have one final thing to talk about, and there's more from you, of course. So. It's always a surprise. Sometimes I know what you're going to talk about. Sometimes I don't. But
sometimes I don't.
That's even more fun.
All right. Now, this is this week in Pimping Your Droid.
Yes, it's a special multi-part feature.
Ooh.
You know, I should have some rap music or something, but I'm not really a rap person, so I decided to try out some ways of visually styling your droid, because everybody likes to show off how pretty their droid is. So I've, of course, used Launcher Pro, which I've been very fond of for some time, and I decided to try out the competition, ADW Launcher. I have some lovely screenshots. Did I send you the ADW screenshots?
I don't think I have those screenshots. Not the ADW ones.
Okay, well, no. I'm going to send you
I have
some.
The Launcher Pro one.
Yes, I did do some more with Launcher Pro. Now, what I did was I did take a look, and I tried to reproduce the design that I'd been using with the gauge battery widget and a few other things. So it's set up similarly to the way I had Launcher Pro set up. See, some of the nice things about the ADW launcher is that it has a, what's the best way to describe it? A feature that it loaded up from the Galaxy S, which is instead of swiping up and down to do your app drawer, it actually allows you to swipe horizontally if you wish.
Huh?
Well, if you look here, now I'm going to send you another picture. I number these things sequentially, so.
Okay.
The next one is actually, it goes from 1 to 2.
Okay.
So I'm going to send you another image. There's 2. And you can actually see there are dots at the top of the screen. Those of you following.
Oh, okay. Now I got it.
You slide left to right, and it offers a menu where you can set up these catalog groups.
A catalog group.
Yes. So I tried setting up a few catalog groups in order to filter. Now, I was mentioning this to you a while ago before I tried this, that what I really wanted to do was to be able to look at a subset of apps and classify them by type. Now, ADW Launcher does allow you to do that.
Mm.
Except there are some limitations.
For example?
Well, one of the limitations is there's a finite number of groups. 4, if I can understand, aside from the all. Also, what I would really like it to do is have horizontal and vertical scrolling options. So if I go, let's say, up and down, it goes up and down within that catalog. But if I go left to right, I want it to switch to a different type of group, like switch from the news group to the utility group. And I just made up these groups.
Right. No, that's a spiffy idea, kind of Palm Pre-esque.
Well, I don't want to look at the apps as a continuum. If I want a game, I want to just be able to look at my list of games, and certainly it makes sense. But the stock launcher doesn't have a filtering option, neither do any of the launchers. This is the closest thing that I've seen so far. And it isn't bad, as things go. But I think it could do better.
Well, my question is, I will leave it there. And maybe this is getting ahead of you, how did the performance of ADW compare to Launcher Pro?
Well, there were some things that it handled better, but there were some things that it handled about the same. Now, both of them are fairly lightweight, and they're always trying to optimize.
Right.
So I would say that there were certain times when ADW Launcher was able to recover from a slowdown better than Launcher Pro, and there were times when Launcher Pro could. Now, the stock, there are a few things that I didn't experiment with, at least not in the screenshots. Now, I set it up with 4 icons at the bottom because I was used to that for Launcher Pro. The stock version, which you can see in picture 5,
mm-hmm.
actually has the little navigation dots there instead. Gotta love those navigation.
They're
dots.
Nice.
Also, if you flick up, but they appear on the screen when you move between screens and then disappear, so I felt it was redundant to have them twice.
Oh.
if you flick up on the dock, you can actually get to a second level of docking and have another level of apps.
At what point does the launcher just become too complicated?
Well, I agree with you. I switched back to Launcher Pro because while it does have a dock that allows you to swipe left and right, that feature allowed me to eliminate several screens. I went to, even though I could have 5 or 7 screens, which certainly permitted by stock Android now, they went to 5 on the Droid. I like having fewer screens. So I like being able to have my quick access icons at the bottom and my other stuff at the top.
Hmm.
So that's a preference, but I think that the stock launcher is different on every system. It's different on the Evo. It's different on the stock Android. It's different on Motorola because it's been customized. And I think being able to have a launcher that you like is a good thing.
I concur.
And I follow the developer of Launcher Pro, who's always saying that he keeps thinking about throwing out all the code and starting from scratch so he could build it even more lean and memory less intensive. And then I go to their forums, which they do have forums at launcherpro.com. And people are saying, stop focusing on these new widgets that he's putting in, like the Twitter and the Facebook widget, and go back to improving the performance. So you can't necessarily make everyone happy. Now,
he will probably start a rewrite when Gingerbread comes out. Or Gingerbread or Honeycomb, whichever one is 3.0.
Well, actually, I hear that from certain things I've read online that it turns out that Gingerbread is definitely not
3.0. 2.3?
And nobody at... They didn't say, but apparently it is not 3.0.
Okay.
Now, so after that, I went to apps for better customizing the icons on your screen. So I had a look at two functions, and I came up with this little screenshot here. There are certainly different apps, but I came up with two that I thought were fairly decent. One is the multi-icon app, which you can see in the image that I...
Which is just completely not appealing to me whatsoever, not at all, none.
People seem to like it. Now, I didn't because I have big fingers, and having little tiny itty-bitty icons in there doesn't really help
me. Now I have a question for you. What is this Watchdog?
Watchdog is a program. It's an alternative to a task.
Oh, okay.
And what it does is it monitors usage and it will tell you if an app misbehaves, allowing you to go in and kill it, but it won't actually automatically kill apps like an old style task killer.
Cool. Okay.
I'm actually considering getting the full version of that one. I've been testing it. So I put the widget there.
And I noticed now, that it looks like the cube icon is larger than normal. Is that the same?
Yes. Now, that's the desktop visualizer app, which allows you to not only set a custom icon. Now, that one is a custom image. It's one of the ones that I was using for the CarDoc experiment that I did some time back. It not only allows you to set the size of the icon, but it allows you to use your own image. So you could have it a little tiny icon, you can have a big gigantic icon on your screen, and you could decide what the icon
is.
That's
good.
So essentially it's a widget shortcut. So when you press the widget, it shortcuts to whatever you tell it to. So I thought that was cute. I chose the largest size, and I put a little... that's the icon for Cubed, which is a music player that I happen to use sometimes. Now, see, this is where I had mentioned it to you that... preparing this last week and moving on to this week sort of bit me, because in the meantime, Launcher Pro came out with a new version, and now they allow you to use custom icons and labels on home screen shortcuts. So I was, after we didn't record on Monday, I was sitting somewhere, and I made up these screens, which you can see in the screenshots. There are 3 of them. I'm not sure if you saw
them. I think I only saw 2, but now that you have revealed your naming convention... I will check out.
Yes, 1, 2, and 3. I'm a big secretive guy there. I name my things sequentially. And so I came up with this screen, and this is, I pulled some wallpaper and some icons from online.
All right.
So what do you think?
I am so disappointed in your number 3.
The 3 there? Oh, what with the... That's the... Now, if you look, I've shown different versions of the dock at the bottom as well.
No, I'm not talking about the dock. I'm talking about your schedule.
Why? That there's nothing on it?
Your one and only appointment is for Mac Break Weekly.
Well, actually, no, that's not an appointment. I didn't have anything on there.
Mm-hmm.
So I did try to white it out. I tried to put something on. I went and added a calendar from the Twit Network. Unfortunately, all it would show was Mac Break Weekly, and I don't actually watch Mac Break Weekly, so I whited it out, but you found me out.
Mm-hmm.
There, I confess, I tried to use somebody else's calendar because mine didn't have anything on it. Then I decided ultimately it was better to have a blank calendar than have Mac Break Weekly on there. But I confess, you found out what I whited out.
Okay.
Anyway, jokes aside... So what do you think of my little creativity here? Showing what you could really do if you want to pimp.
Dude, that's some amazing stuff. I love your wallpaper with the little bitty androids just covering the back.
Yeah, I found that online. You want me to send you a copy? It also comes with a stripe if you want it striped.
Yes, please.
Okay, I'll send that to you. I found it in one of the forums. I look through a whole lot of people post your screens here. There are all sorts of forums online where you can post your screens and compare them to other people. So I decided to come up with a composite, and that's also where I found those little droid icons. Aren't they?
They are. How cute.
They're just adorable. The little Pandora one, the droid holding the little phone receiver.
I find it amazing how, the Android icon is... not overly complicated, but people use it in so many ways.
Well, I certainly agree.
Oh, I have another handy little tip for our listeners.
Okay.
Open up your calculator.
I am opening my calculator.
Okay.
After I get out of AppBrain, which is still up there, I'm looking at my beautiful screen. Hello, little screen. Hello, little funny tube thing that I found somewhere.
You got your calculator open?
Yes, I was just enjoying the little tube.
Okay, thing. Now, rotate your phone to landscape mode.
Rotating? Yes.
Did you see that?
What?
Now you get some extra functions, like parentheses and pi and the square root, factorial, stuff like that.
I don't have factorial. I have parentheses. I don't have square root, but you have a slightly larger square.
I have sine, cosine, tangent, the natural logarithm, log.
Yeah, I have that. In order to do that, what I have to do is go to menu and then press advanced panel to get those functions.
Okay, pressing menu on mine does not do anything.
Well, it may be because I have a smaller screen, but just looking, now that I've put in the advanced, what I can do is swipe the entire... calculator face, and it will swipe between the advanced functions and the regular functions. So that's how it... Let me see if it'll do it in portrait mode. It will also do it in portrait mode on mine. Try going back to portrait mode and try swiping across the...
Nope. Swiping does nothing. Menu does nothing for me.
Okay,
maybe this is just the sense thing.
Yeah, on mine, you can actually, and I don't know whose phones has it, you can actually swipe across... and it will switch from the basic calculator over to sine, cosine, tangent, logarithm, pi, parentheses. Ooh, I have square root, caret. So I can put in the error. Always nice when you can make a calculator fail.
This was actually, for me, I was in Memphis with my father, and he and I were talking about something, and I was doing some, I wanted to know what the diagonal size of a 20 by 40 screen was. And so I was doing it in my head. My dad said, you got that spiffy phone. Why don't you just use it? And the calculator did not have a square root function on it. So I was quite embarrassed. And then the other day, just by accident, I noticed that tilting it, I got extra functions.
Okay, that may just be a modification on mine swiping it. So those of you at home, try both options. You should be able to find those advanced features.
It also explains why I keep looking for a calculator app that I'm still never happy with any of them.
Oh, and I just checked. My calendar does have a listing for today. Yes, it notes what I have on the schedule for today.
All right. What else are we doing today?
Well, brings me to the end of that particular aspect of discussion. I believe that's Developer's Corner.
Oh, okay. Let's see. What do I want to talk about today? Okay. Switching to activities. If you know, Android works via intents, right? For pretty much anything you want to do, they're intents that you run an intent. You know, you want to see this website. That's an intent, which is what lets Dog Catcher intercept certain websites, but not others. You know, if it's an RSS feed or if it's from FeedDemon, it can put in these intent filters so that it can grab those and say, hey, I want those. Well, sometimes when you're in your own app, you just want a button that takes you to another activity, in which case you can say, you can create a new intent with, the current context and just, you know, the name of the class.class and then run the intent and bada bing, your new activity is running. Sometimes you need to move information from that first activity to the next activity. And if you're looking at something that is, you know, some sort of basic type, like a string or an integer or a float or an array of said things, that's not really a big problem because you can use the put and get extras on that intent to put in key value pairs. But what if you have an object, just a random, just an arbitrary object that you need to move from one place to another? For example, let's say that you have an edit property screen, and you need to move let the properties activity know about the thing that you're editing. there's a few ways to do this. Two of them are in order of preference from Google's point of view. You can make the object parcelable, and that's a kind of a pain in the butt. But you can attach the part once an object or once a class is parcelable, then you can attach that class or that an object of that class to an intent, and it'll just move right along with the intent and be available to the activity when it receives it. Another option is to make it less desirable from the point of Google, but a little bit easier to do, is you can make the object or the class serializable. Still kind of a pain in the ass, not quite as fun. But if it's serializable, you can also attach it to the intent and send it on. The other way that you can do it is you can stuff that object somewhere that both activities have access to. Now, this is completely, I would label this as a hack, but it gets the job done, and you will need to evaluate in your own circumstance if this is appropriate for you. But every application has an application, and you can override and subclass this type of application so that you can put an object of any, you can do anything. My application has a couple of methods on it. Get and set editable object, where I just give the object to the application. And then I run the intent. And when the new activity starts, I grab the object from the application, and I go to town. Good luck with that. And what do you think? Should I do one more?
That's up to you. If you want, you could do it now, or we can save it for next week. We're running a little longer than normal this week because we recorded later in the week.
I'll save it for next week.
Okay. I have one more announcement that I was going to mention before I forget, and then we're going to wrap it up. I, after our failure the other day, bought these exciting new cables that arrived today. wanted a chance to talk about them. This is actually very interesting.
Are these the breakout cables that you were mentioning?
Yes. Now, on my Droid, there is, of course, a standard 3.5mm or 1/8-inch jack. And it has a 4-connector head on it that allows for left-right power and, of course, microphone. Now, the problem is, if you want to plug in a microphone separate from the headphones, there's no real cable for that. But there, I found a company that actually is selling a breakout cable, which separates the single 3.5mm into other cables and separates it out. Now, I looked into it, and the Droid, for example, uses a different pinout than, let's say, the iPhone. In fact, it's inverted. So an iPhone version of this would not necessarily work because the pins would be a little different.
Right.
But, so this one is wired up specifically for my phone, and it's compatible with a bunch of different phones. They have a list of which phones use which type of pinout. Now, I bought two different types of cables. One of them is line in and line out, so I could plug this, let's say, into my board. And let's say next week you have a catastrophic internet failure. I could plug you into the phone, you could call me, and we could have the same conversation with the phone as your
input. That sounds awesome. Although I think the sound quality would not.
Well, even if the phone was, let's say, doing it over Skype or VoIP. The phone's certainly capable of it. But I did buy one other cable from them, and this is also the amusing one. Both of these include attenuators to change the signal to the appropriate level. Now, the other one, not only does it have the headphone jack to plug in the line-out or headphones, but it has an XLR jack to plug in an actual full-grade microphone.
Holy cow.
So I figured I would buy this cable. Let's say that I'm going somewhere and I want to, let's say I went to the big Android barbecue, which I have probably decided not to go to since it's only a couple weeks off and I haven't decided to go. So I probably will not end up going. And I want to interview some important Android-related personage. I could actually plug a microphone in and hold it up. Not only that, let's say I'm using the camcorder function. I could plug in a microphone and interview somebody on camera using the Droid in a semi-professional manner. There's only one problem I've discovered it with sound recording.
What's that?
I can't find a really good sound recorder app.
Really?
Well, there are a couple of them, but I haven't found one that I really like.
What's wrong with the built-in one?
Now, there's a built-in sound recorder? Do you
have? Yeah.
Where is there a built-in sound recorder?
Apps, voice recorder?
Well, I do have something called voice recorder, but I had to download it.
Really? Okay, this one just came built in.
Well, maybe it's a HTC thing. Maybe. But the only one that I found that will record more than 30 seconds is voice recorder, which you can find in the market. But I didn't quite like it. It doesn't necessarily offer everything I want. And I haven't tried the full version because you can actually give them money. I love this. Each donation application has an optional feature as gratitude. So I could do a converter to MP3 format, recording a call automatically, and transferring a recorded data by email automatically. So I'm in the market for a good recording app to take best advantage of this. I did test it since the recording app wasn't working. I actually made a phone call and had a conversation with somebody using a pair of headphones and an XLR microphone. They have never heard me sound so good. It's sort of interesting, though. I wish the cables were less expensive, pretty expensive for cabling.
I just looked into it. Yeah, the voice recorder is an HTC app.
Yeah, but if you happen to hear about a better voice recorder that would work for this function, drop us a line. Or maybe, Jerry, you could write me.
Well, I'm looking at the size of that app. You know, when you're looking at the apps, when you go to app management, it tells you how big the app is. The application is 8K. It cannot be a complicated application.
Well, what I really need is something that will record in, you know, the best quality format so that I can download it off the phone and, let's say, put it into a podcast with the best fidelity.
Well, unfortunately, if you go to the Android-supported media formats, it shows you what there are encoders and decoders. There's really only one encoder. So it would have to bring its own any high quality recorder would have to bring its own encoder.
What do you think?
Oh, yes, easily. Oh, it would need some native code, but there's a gazillion libraries.
Well, you have plenty of them that would do audio, and all I would really need is a good quality voice-based one. Or let's say that it was for somebody other than me, a good quality music-based one for, let's say, a musician. So here's another idea I'm giving you for free.
Well, see, if you're doing voice and music are two entirely different things. The built-in encoder for voice is probably okay. I mean, it's sampled at like 8 kilohertz, which, you know, the human voice is actually a fairly narrow frequency range. Yeah. But when you're in music, you need to sample it somewhere up around 44K or preferably 48K, 48 kilohertz, 48,000 kilohertz. No.
Yes.
48 kilohertz.
I know what you're referring. CD quality is what they used to call it.
Yeah, pretty much. Over twice as much as 20K. But for voice, that's just overkill.
As I said, the app I found didn't quite... It sounds a bit off. So it might just be...
They may be using the built-in encoder. And this is, you know, it's AMR, narrowband. So... You're not going to get great quality out of it. I mean, it's the reason why phone calls don't sound like they're the person is in the next door or the next room.
But is the phone capable of, let's say, doing, let's say, a WAV file or something like that where it would have?
No. And not just from, but I mean, WAV files are really, really, I mean, especially 48K, really big. So it just could not write to the flash drive fast enough. And even if it did, it would be, well, actually.
Well, there must be something in between.
You know, probably.
Something with a wider band, but not necessarily that big.
Encoding to MP3 could probably be done.
And MP3, at least, is, you know, it's not the best quality, but at least.
Well, I mean, MP3's got variable quality on it. I mean, 320 kilobits per second in MP3 is about as good as it gets. Unless you're looking for something like FLAC.
I don't think I need FLAC. I'd like a little better than the narrowband recording that this program is doing, but I don't necessarily...
Well, even AMR wideband is only, you know, 16 kilohertz sampling.
Yeah, but it may be that this program is only using a subset. I'm not even sure what the settings are when it records. I just recorded something and played it back through my headphones, and it didn't sound too good. And I know that microphone is capable of doing more because I've used it to record the show.
It's probably the encoder, which for what you want, any decent audio recorder is going to have to bring along its own audio encoder.
Well, if anybody knows of a program that does that, I stand ready to hear about it. And on that note, let's cut over to Susan so that she can tell us all about where you can help me with my
problem. Hi, Susan.
If you'd like to leave us a voicemail, call 201-2-WANICA or send us an audio file. If you'd like to write us, you can use the contact form on the site or email us at podcast@androidbuffet.com. You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Check out You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Check out You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Check out You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Check out You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom Twitter account at Gadget Wisdom. Check out You can reach Guru of the Gadget Wisdom cast. I am Susan and I live inside Guru's droid. And now, a final word from Guru and Jerry.
And that brings us to another exciting conclusion of the Android Buffet podcast.
See, I would disagree. I would say the conclusion of an Android Buffet podcast is sad because it's the end. It is the beginning of an Android Buffet podcast that is exciting because then you have the entire podcast before you, but now the entire podcast is behind you. Thanks for listening.
Well, Well, remember, because this is going to be released on Thursday, and we normally record on Monday, that's fewer days before you get to hear us again. I have to get started on my next feature, so we better end the show right now.
All right.
And it's close to midnight here in the East Coast while we're recording, and go to bed, and hopefully when you wake up in the morning...
I think I'm going to go to McDonald's for a little bit of their midnight dollar menu.
Okay, well... Eat well, Jerry. I'll be here editing the podcast, because I want to get it out as soon as possible. So if I fall asleep tomorrow morning and sleep through something, it's because I love each and every one of our listeners. And we'll see you next
week. See you next week, folks.
Smiling, the whole world smiles with you. When you're laughing, the sun comes shining through. But when you're sighing, you bring on the rain, so stop your sighing. Be happy again. When you're smiling, the whole world smiles with you. Stop your crying, be happy again. Oh, when you're smiling, when you're smiling.